never wanted to have any customer feel like they were a burden to me or that they were wasting my time or money. I wanted them to know that I valued them and that my company was here to serve them. So how do you want your customer to feel? Do you want them to think that you're hard-nosed or helpful? Hey, you're listening to the Because I Can podcast, where we believe we can decide our own income, choose happiness, kick fear in the teeth, and never, ever stop. Why? Because we can. I'm your host, Allison J. Prince, and I went from being a junior high science teacher to building 4 online multi-million dollar businesses with 4 kids at my feet. Each week, I'm bringing you real conversations that have led me, as well as other experts, to step into our dream online business lifestyle so that you can get the answers you need to craft your Because I Can life as well. Take that first step and commit now to your Because I Can life by downloading your free personal bundle at becauseicanlife.com/bundle. Hey friend, I'm so glad that you are here. So the other day I ran across an email that I received years ago, not long after I started my first online store called Pick Your Plum. And the reason that this email stands out is because it was actually one of my very first complaints slash refunds that I ever had to deal with. Sure, I had a few previously, but I was able to fix those pretty easily. But this email, it woke me up. And it's what made me get serious with myself and say, Allison, you've got to get your refund policy in place or you're going to lose a lot of money. So let me explain. The woman who sent me this email had ordered 2 sets of metal sheets. I presented them on my website as perfect pieces to display your photos using magnets. And she'd seen the vision that I had put up there. But here's what the email said. I just received my first order. I had ordered 2 sets of metal magnet sheets, and I was really looking forward to receiving them. The first thing I saw was how filthy they were. I knew they were sheets of metal, but covered in dirty footprints were too much. I was also expecting that they would have somewhat rounded corners, which they don't. This may have been a misunderstanding on my part, but I couldn't go back and find the listing to find if my expectations were out of line. All right. Now, at first, not going to lie about this, I got a little defensive. I would never send out dirty metal sheets covered in footprints, right? No, I sold beautiful, clean sheets of metal where people could create photo collages. But guess what? She attached a photo of the package that she received. And when I saw those dirty shoe prints all over the metal, I knew I was completely in the wrong. The fact is, my online business was growing very, very quickly, and I couldn't physically check every single item that was received or sent out. Sure, I did spot checks, but this was proof that products had gotten through that weren't up to my company's standards. Now, I'm a human, and I did think things like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. Why do I need to deal with this right now? They're just shoe marks. Why can't she clean them off? But then I realized, oh my gosh, Allison, this customer just gave me the biggest gift in the world. She made me stop and think about how I want my customers to feel. I knew what I expected as a customer myself. I used to dread having to return to things to like Target. For example, I really love Target. I really do. But I'd have 4 kids in tow, a product I needed to return, an item that had tags attached, and I'd even have it in the bag that I purchased it in. But they'd ask the dreaded question, do you have the receipt? Of course I didn't. I probably used it to wipe a nose or clean up ketchup spill off my toddler and tossed it out the window. I don't know what I did with it, right? Or it magically disappeared. It stressed me out so much. Now, can I compare that to Nordstrom's for a moment? I could walk into Nordy's with a pair of Mankey shoes that I've been wearing for 6 months, but had stitches coming apart. They didn't think twice. They asked me if I wanted a refund or a new pair of the same shoes. It made me feel so valued as a customer, right? So as I thought about a return policy, I knew that what I would create would determine how people thought about me and my company. In short, just like those footprints on a metal plate, I needed to determine how I was going to leave my own mark. So I sat down and started writing down everything I had in my mind. What kind of return policy could I create that benefited both the customer and my company? Things like, who's going to pay for her to ship the metal pieces back? Is it going to be her? Is it going to be me? What if this same person orders products and asks for returns over and over and over? She'd been great at sending me a photo, but should I require everyone to do that? I never wanted to have any customer feel like they were a burden to me or that they were wasting my time or money. I wanted them to know that I valued them and that my company was here to serve them. So how do you want your customer to feel? Do you want them to think that you're hard-nosed or helpful? So as you think about that, I want to share, I know we're going to get into a little geeky stats here, a few numbers with you. Okay, first, there's been a huge increase in online shipping. According to statistics posted by Shopify, more and more people are shopping online. In fact, there was a global increase in the online sales of 27% in 2020 alone. I know, I feel like we need to do a little whoop whoop right there because we're in online shopping, right? And those numbers add up and are climbing. When Shopify study was done in May of 2021, online sales just in the US were predicted to be at $843 billion, a billion with a B, and that number is climbing. But here's the Debbie Downer moment. There's a bunch of studies related to what the return rate is for those online sales. Guess what they say? Returns can be as high as 40% of online purchases every year. Ugh. And from my own personal experience, this is strictly the world. According to Allison J. Prince here, I think around 15 to 20% is a fair expectation for most small online shop owners. And if you don't have a solid return policy in place for your store, it can really impact your bottom line, especially if you have small profit margins on your products. That's why I put a big plug in here for trying to reduce the likelihood of getting returns before they even ever have to happen. Make sure your descriptions are good, that your dimensions make it easy for people to see the size. I saw the greatest example of this on Instagram the other day. It was this Mexican restaurant that was showing off the size of a burrito by putting it next to a baby. Oh, that just made my day. Like, a huge burrito next to a sweet little infant. I laughed so hard and of course showed all my kids and they giggled too. And the next time I want a big burrito, guess what? You know where I'm going. So hopefully you're still thinking about your return policy and how you want your customers to feel. That's an important part of our conversation today. All right, because I'm into the stats today, listen to these from ShipBob.com, which is a fulfillment center that helps online store owners ship out their products. They said that more than 60% of customers will review a return policy before making a purchase. They want to know ahead of time of what's going to happen if they have to send something back to you. Also, 92% of shoppers say that they will buy again if the return process was easy. 92%? That's a ginormous number. So when the return policies are clear and the process is easy, yes, you've earned your customer's loyalty. But keep in mind here that at the end of the day, it's going to be your choice as an online store owner, how you handle returns. But having a clear, written, easy to find return policy will reduce any confusion for your clients and give you a level of protection that you want for your business. So what should a return policy cover? Now, pull out a pen and paper, and I want you to write this down. Allison J. Prince is not an attorney. And what I'm about to share is absolutely not legal advice. It's what I found that works for my companies. I have a great attorney, Evan Sawyer, that I work with. I talk about him all the time. He is phenomenal. But there's other companies out there that you can use, like termsfeed.com, that can create return policies and other documents for you. Termsfeed is not sponsoring this podcast anyway, shape or form. They just have products worth checking out to help you be successful in your online store. Okay, so that out of the way, let's move on to your online store's return policy. First, are you even going to allow returns? There are some products that a lot of companies will not allow to be returned. For example, perishable items. I mean, if you sell and ship yummy cookies, it's not okay to accept returns once they're old and stale. Now, also, I really want cookies. Dang. Have I mentioned that I can't get Swig cookies here in Puerto Rico? If anyone would like to set up a franchise here, honestly, I would be your first, second, third, fourth, a lot of your customer. And I'd really appreciate it. But in all serious items that usually can't be returned, supplements or other health-related items, and it makes sense, right? Customers who want return items might have a problem with that, but honestly, would you feel safe reselling protein powder or vitamins that have been returned given the possibility that they have been tampered with? As a consumer, would you feel safe using them? I know I wouldn't. Same thing with like makeup and nail polish, dental products. I think you know where I'm going here. I found an awesome return policy over on overstock.com. You might want to check it out. It spells out what cannot be returned, and it might give you some ideas for your own store. Oh, and another thing that a lot of companies don't allow returns for, there are gift cards. That seems pretty obvious, but people have been known to try and return them for cash. No bueno. Now let's dive into the second thing. And I actually broke this down into six parts because if you're going to allow returns, let's go over six things that your return policy might include. Number one, how to begin the return process. Do they email you? Can they call a customer service center, fill out a form? Be clear on how customers can communicate with you about your returns. Number two, time frame. What time frame do they have to return an item? Some retailers allow returns within 90 days, 6 months, even a year or more. But guess what? That did not work for me. The faster an item was returned, the better chance I had to resell it for its full price. 14 days has worked pretty well for me. The max I've ever done is 30 days. And that was pushing it. So somewhere between that 14 to 30 days has been my sweet spot for my businesses. Okay, number three, return condition. This is kind of a big one. When I first started selling clothing in my online store, I had items returned that had obviously been worn, tags cut off, smelled like perfume, and some would even have been stained by makeup or other things I don't even really want to talk about. Just gross, gross stuff. And I don't want that to happen to you. So spell out what you will and will not accept. For example, do the tags still need to be attached? Original packaging intact, in new condition, all the things, and no gross clothing. Number four, cash or credit. What are you going to do? Are you going to put it back on their credit card so they can have the cash, or are you just going to give them in-store credit? Your customers need to know what they're going to get when they return the item. Now, this does have the potential to be a sensitive issue. So make it very clear from the get-go. But I'm going to say this. If I'm only going to offer credit and I have someone that is super, super upset about it, I would say, hey, normally we just do credit, but I'm going to make this exception and do cash for you or credit back to your credit card. And it's going to make them feel like a complete rock star with that. And at the end of the day, I want my customers happy. All right, let's dive into number five, talk fees and talk costs. Yes, this is another one that can be a big deal to customers, and it has a pretty big impact on your business too. Shipping is not cheap. And then we add in inflation that has driven shipping prices up. So footing the bill to pay the shipping back when you were not expecting it, my friend, is not fun. One option is to only pay return shipping costs if there's a problem with the merchandise. Let's be honest, it's not your customer's fault if the shirt or they ordered had stitching mistakes, or they ordered a blue item, got a red one, or if their metal plates have footprints all over them. But if they're returning two of the three identical dresses they ordered because they weren't sure what size to get, or if they ordered holiday items that arrived in plenty of time and they're returning them post-holiday, well, that's not really on you, right? The easiest thing to do is have one requirement for all returns, period. But if you don't want to pay for all the shipping costs yourself and have your buyers pay shipping, you totally can. Just make sure you spell it out in your return. And then there's one other sort of thing. There are some companies out there that still charge restocking fees, especially in the tech industry. I know. I was a little in shock the first time it happened. But if you're going to charge those kind of fees again, please, please, please make sure to spell it out. All right, let's dive into number six, photos. This one is just a thing that you may put in, or maybe you don't. The fact is, I want pictures from my customers who are returning merchandise because there's a problem. I want that visual so I can pass it on to my manufacturer and make it super slick. That way I don't have to wait for the products to come back. And then me trying to figure out and remember all the things that we're sending and the issues. No, I just want it all done so I can get it to my manufacturer quickly. And I want to nip that problem right in the bud. And also, I always find it curious when customers are like, I'm not going to send you a picture. And I'm like, why? It's not like you have to go take an old school camera, develop the film, and then take it and upload it to a fax machine, right? It's easy to send pictures now. You just do it right on your phone. All right. So those are the six things to consider putting in your return policy. And as a side note, make sure your policy is written so people can understand it. No one should need a law degree to understand whether or not they can return a pair of socks or a baseball hat. And put your return policy where people can find it, like the FAQs. People love, 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 love FAQs. Now, I want to tell you a couple people that have asked me about returns when they have had lower priced items. In my first online store, a lot of my merchandise was at a low price point. And if people had something they needed to return, something that was damaged, whatever, I honestly didn't have people ship it back. It would just cost me more in shipping than it was worth. Now, could people take advantage of that thing? Yeah, absolutely. But guess what? Liars, they're going to need to take that up with God or the universe or the higher power. I'm not going to give it a lot of my energy into it. So let me tell you what I put my energy into. I invested it into how I wanted my customers to feel. And remember when we talked just a bit ago, kind of the whole thing that started this whole podcast? Well, after I got the email and the image from my customers about those dang dirty metal pieces, and after I recognized the opportunity I knew exactly how I wanted her to feel. So I wrote her a response and I thanked her for letting me know about the problem. I told her that her taking the time to share her experience with me has helped me to make my business better, and that she was right. And the product she received was completely unacceptable. Did I tell her to keep the metal pieces? Yep. And then I let her know that I was going to send her a replacement. And I told her that I was going to send her two additional sets as well. And finally, I asked her to trust us again in the future and included a coupon code for another purchase. When I heard back from her, she said, "I have never been treated like this before. Thank you so much for listening to me." And she became a diehard fan from that moment on. I made a mark that lasted. So returns are part of any product-based business, but they don't have to be scary. Put the rules in place and make sure people can find and understand them and have the systems in place to handle the returns. And more importantly, always go in with how you want your customer to feel. Truly, you can protect your business and connect with your customers in a powerful way. I hope you love this episode, and I hope it gave you some amazing, awesome information for you to take right now and go put in your business and build that beautiful dream business that is serving people and also putting money in your pocket. All right. Have a beautiful, beautiful day, and I'll see you next week. Oh my goodness. That was so much fun. Thank you for listening to this episode of Because I Can podcast. Now, I've had a lot of you reach out to me and say, "Allison, what are some of the products you started with when you didn't have a lot of money?" So what I decided to do is I got 16 products, some of my very first products online that got me to my first $1 million. And I have a feeling some of these products are going to absolutely shock you. So you've got to get this free downloadable PDF. Now, to do that, just go to becauseicanlife.com/gift. All right, I can't wait to talk to you on the next Because I Can podcast.